Okay, Bible and Daily Lifers, here we are. We are going through the New Testament and we are making progress. We are in chapter 10 of Matthew. Chapter 10, we said the other day, is a continuation of chapter 9. There were no divisions between chapter 9 and chapter 10. And it's in chapter 9 that Jesus tells his disciples that you need to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth workers into the harvest. Well, there are no chapter divisions, so if you just kept reading on, the answer to that prayer is them. He tells them to pray, and then they're the answer to their own prayer. Kind of interesting, kind of fun. I heard someone, I think it was just today, was it today or yesterday, who was saying that somebody had said in the church, you know, does the church have such and such kind of ministry? And they said, no, we don't have that kind of ministry. And they said, oh, that's too bad. And they said, well, maybe you should start it. So if he doesn't have us, if we're not the ones who do it, then who is it that will do it? It's us. We are the ones that he has. We are his hands and we are his feet. So let's read. Let's read this and see what we can get out of it as we as we read this here. Sorry about that. Let's see. He called his 12 disciples and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and to heal every affliction. Now here's the names. And we said, because names are important. These are people. These are people who lived in a real place, in a real time. And he gives us their names. First, Simon, who's called Peter. And we said, again, this is a family thing, him and his brother, Andrew. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Again, brothers. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, who would end up betraying him. Well, here we go. These 12 Jesus sent out, and he instructed them. He said, go nowhere among the Gentiles, and don't enter the town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, this is strange. Why not go to the Gentiles? Because didn't Jesus come for everybody? He did. But he's coming to the Jewish community first and then to the Gentiles. This is also the way the Apostle Paul did it when he went out and started churches. He would first go and find a Jewish synagogue in town and start there. The promises were given to the Jewish community, and so it goes to them first. And if they reject it, then they just go to Gentiles. So right now, it's just working in Israel, just working in that little area. But it's going to go out into the whole world, and this is the desire for Jesus, that it will go everywhere. But right now, while he's training his disciples, let's just go where we're familiar. And as you go, proclaim this, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The rule of heaven is here. It's right at hand. Here, it's available now. Now is the time to come to God. Now is the time to turn to Jesus. So the way that they were supposed to do it was this. They were supposed to heal the sick, that's what Jesus did. They were supposed to raise the dead. They were supposed to cleanse the lepers. They were supposed to cast out demons. You received without paying and give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, not two tunics, not a couple of coats or a couple of pairs of shoes or a staff for the laborer deserves his food. Now, this is pretty big. There used to be a Northwest Airlines commercial. And in the commercial, this guy, his boss is talking to him on the phone, and he said, look, I need you to be in Tokyo on Monday. And he said, okay. He said, you know, I can do that. He said, you need to be in Bangkok on Wednesday. He said, okay, I can do that. He said, then you have a meeting in Seattle on Friday. He said, yeah, I can do that. And he hangs up the phone and he says, how am I going to do that? So Jesus tells these guys, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to heal the sick. You're supposed to raise the dead. You're supposed to cleanse lepers. You're supposed to cast out demons. You know, you're supposed to just trust God, you know, that he's going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you. You know, you don't need to bring a lot of gold. You don't need to bring a lot of silver. You don't need to bring a whole bunch of clothes. Just go out and the Lord will take care of you. Well, they were going to need Jesus. They were going to need the Holy Spirit if this was going to happen. And whatever town you enter, if you find it worthy, in it, stay there until you depart. And as you enter a house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not, then let your peace return. And if anyone won't receive you or listen to your words, just shake the dust off your feet when you leave. that town, and truly I say to you, it'll be more bearable on the day of judgment than it was for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in those days. Wow. So just go and go where you're received and go where people want to hear what's going on. Go where people will listen. And if they won't listen, then just get out of there. It's a good principle even still, isn't it? That, you know, if people don't want to listen to you, you don't want to try to make them listen. You don't want to try to push it down their throat. Go to those who want to listen. He said, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be as wise as serpents and be as innocent as doves. Well, that's where that phrase comes from, wise as serpents, innocent as doves. And many people have heard that throughout history. It's used a lot, used in literature, used in common vernacular. But I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, what do wolves do to sheep? This is not the good news. He's telling them it's going to be hard. It's going to be rough. Like, you're going to go out and, you know, people are going to tear you apart. And that's where you're going into. And so he said, beware of men, because they will deliver you over to the courts and they'll flog you in the synagogues, the religious people. You'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. So, but these guys aren't going to the Gentiles. So he must be talking future, what's going to happen, and be talking about us as well. Well, people throughout history have been persecuted for the sharing of the gospel. They have been arrested. They have many times been killed. They have been in prison. They have lost their jobs. For many years, we were supporting missionaries in Cuba. And Cubans, not missionaries to Cuba, but Cubans, and many of them lost their job in the Communist Party because they believed in the supernatural. And that just goes against the tenets that there is no supernatural of the Communist Party, of communism, of dialectical materialism. It goes against it. And so they would lose their jobs because of it, being persecuted because of it. Many Christians have lost their lives throughout the ages for holding to Jesus and him crucified. Why would you want to kill someone because they believed in the resurrection of Jesus? Well, you know, it's what's happened throughout history. And Jesus is telling them this is what's going to happen. And we shouldn't be surprised if it happens to us. You know, we've thought that it couldn't happen in America. There was a guy that used to sing a song. He used to say, you know, if you don't think that it can happen right here in America, you know, wait till it happens. Wait till it happens to you. So could happen right here. But when they deliver you over, don't be anxious as to how you are to speak or what you're to say, for you'll be given what to say at that hour, because it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of my Father speaking through you. So what can you say anyway? You don't know what they're going to accuse you of. You don't know how they're going to speak to you. Some people take this to say, you know, if you're a preacher, you shouldn't prepare, you shouldn't study, you should just get up and just start talking and wait for the Spirit to tell you what to say. But that's not so. Like, if you're a teacher, you need to teach things that you've studied. You need to teach things that you know. You don't just stand there and wait for the Spirit to teach it to you. It's saying that if you're standing in front of governors, if you're standing in front of rulers, if you're standing in front of religious authorities and they're accusing you and persecuting you, that God will give you the wisdom. In fact, you find this in Acts 7, where Stephen gives one of the most amazing answers to the questions and the accusations that they make about him. They can't say anything about it. At the end, they kill him anyway. He's the first martyr of the Christian church in Acts 7. But the answer he gave was just amazing wisdom. It was the Holy Spirit who gave it to him. And the Holy Spirit will give it to you. The reason that some people don't have experiences with the Holy Spirit is we don't put ourselves into a position where we need him. If you start to share Christ with people, they're going to be asking you questions, making accusations of you that you don't have answers to. And it's in that place that God will give you wisdom. He'll give you answers that even you couldn't know. And you'll be amazed at yourself. When you give the answer, you'll be like, wow, that was pretty amazing. I didn't know I knew that. Well, yeah, he'll show it to you. It's your Father speaking through you. He says, brother will deliver brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You'll be hated by all nations because for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all of the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. So this happens with converts to Islam, people that get converted from Islam, not to Islam, but from Islam. in many places, many countries in the world right now, today, in the 21st century, in the year 2022, converts that get converted from Islam to Christianity in certain countries, their family members will turn them in. Their brother will turn them in. Their mother and father will turn them in. Sometimes they're persecuted, they're thrown in jail. It's illegal in some of these places to preach the gospel, let alone to convert somebody. And so brother will turn against brother, and sister against sister, and father against son, and son against father. It's unbelievable. But it happens, and has been happening. A disciple's not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, the lord of the flies, the lord of the demons, how much more will they malign those of his household? So if they did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to you. Just face it, face that reality. It's the way that it is. In the United States, we've had it relatively well in comparison to the rest of church history and in comparison to the rest of the world, but don't think we're exempt from it. Don't think that it won't happen here. So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim it on the housetops. Don't fear those who can kill the body, but can't kill the soul. They can kill your body, but they can't take away your soul. Your soul will be with Jesus, and he'll give us a resurrected body, a new body. It's the hope that we have. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? I don't know. If you tell me they are, I believe you. I've never sold a sparrow, but I'm sure that they were sold for a penny in the day. It means they weren't really worth much. And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your father. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. Well, I have less hairs now than I had before, but God has been good to me in the hair department. He's given me some hair, but he knows all the numbers of the hairs. Each one numbers them individually. Absolutely amazing. That he would know that, that God would know that about me. I'm fascinated by it. And so fear not, you're more valuable than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who's in heaven. So we should be making the good confession. We should be proclaiming that we belong to Jesus, giving that testimony, letting people know, I want to declare that I belong to Jesus. I will acknowledge him before people. I am acknowledging him right now. So read the rest of the chapter. Interesting stuff there, but we'll continue through the New Testament. Hey, God loves you guys, so find us, Bible and Daily Life, all over the place, YouTube, Spotify, church website, Calvary Chapel 316, Bible and Daily Life website. Anyway, bless you guys. Love you. Peace.